May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? The two disciples walking ask this question of Jesus, but the reality is that they are the strangers. What do we know about these disciples? It seems likely that Cleopas and his companion were in the room that morning when the women rushed from the tomb. And like the others, they concluded that the words of the women sounded to them like nonsense. If people are heading from Jerusalem to Emmaus, it's about 7 miles away. I looked up, it's about the distance between here and Clapham Junction. And they are moving away from Jerusalem back to Emmaus, presumably back towards their old lives. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? The word our Bibles give us as visitor in English is not quite enough. The word it comes from in its original language is parokoi. It's where we get our word parish from when we talk about parochial matters. Parokoi, in its literal meaning, is resident alien. Someone who is outside the city boundaries, so perhaps someone who lives outside, just outside the city boundaries, or a non-citizen who lives within the walls. Somebody who lives nearby but doesn't belong. Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Are you only a parishioner that you do not know the things that have happened here in these days? And yet Jesus calls them both in. How do they discern the risen Christ in their midst? Well, the text tells us, firstly, Jesus talks to them. He speaks his word. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, surely the best Bible study in history, Christ uses scripture to show them who he is. This is a confidence that we can own as Christians. God's word has the power in itself to change lives and to bring salvation. And one of the things I love about Charles Spurgeon, one of the things I love that he said was, we often feel like we need to defend the Bible sometimes. And we spend more time perhaps defending what the Bible says than actually expounding and sharing it. And his advice is to open the door and let the lion out of the cage. I love that. Are you confident, friends, in the power of the Word of God to change your heart and to change other people's hearts? But there's a second ingredient here. So we have the Word of God. Jesus walks, he talks with them. But there's a second ingredient here, which will be our focus this morning. Hospitality. Encounter. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. They sit together, and a whole new world opens up to these disciples. Church of Jesus Christ is the fellowship of strangers. We are the community of non-belongers. All human beings experience loneliness on a deep level. Because we do not have the fullness of relationship with our Father in heaven, we are not entirely comfortable in our own skin, and our natural posture towards one another is uncomfortable. Relationships, or lack of, are often characterized by isolation, fear, and misunderstanding. It's like where there's a radical gap between us that just cannot be overcome. Feel afraid. So we often gravitate towards people that are just like us. And we tend to mistrust people who aren't. Some of us, by virtue of upbringing, temperament, or even the work of God in us, are more open than others in this way. But it's a problem that all of us, to some degree or other, have. Christ offers something new. Christ offers us a new way of being human and a new way of relating to one another. This shows itself out in loving relationships with people, loving relationships that cost And it shows itself out in loving relationships across whichever boundaries you will find in any given society. So whether those are class, race, politics, whatever they may be, the Church of Jesus Christ on its good day is presenting a quite radical different vision of what humanity looks like. From the very, very beginning, this is what the Church has done, and it shows a new way in how it welcomes and cares of being human. This is something that Tertullian, in the 3rd century, wrote. He says, "What outsiders saw was not the Christians' worship, but their care. Energetically feeding poor people and burying them, caring for boys and girls who lacked property and parents, being attentive to slaves and prisoners. And the people of the ancient world looked and said, 'Look, see how they love one another.'" We have a plague across the whole of the Roman Empire in the year 251 AD that lasted for several years. Thousands, possibly millions across the Roman Empire died. This plague made you violently ill and then it killed you. And so in the midst of this plague, people tried to flee the cities and they even threw diseased people out onto the streets. So the way that the pagan world responded to this was they did exactly as they had always done. They went to the oracles to find out the cause. Many of them decided Christians were the cause. As they were, and they made a sacrifice to keep the gods happy. And then primarily they looked after their own people and got out if they possibly could. So the Christians took the blame for this plague, but they responded in a radical way. This plague has actually been renamed historically as the Cyprian plague because of the Bishop of Carthage, who called the Christians to respond to this plague in an entirely radical way. They made no sacrifices to appease the gods, but instead they showed practical deeds of loving service. They effectively, systematically cared for the sick. And they didn't just look after their own people, but they looked after other people as well. So the Christians said, "We're not just going to look after ourselves, we're going to look after the whole of these communities." Cyprian Bishop said, "It is not at all remarkable if we cherish only our own brethren with the proper observance of love. To overcome evil with good and love even their enemies." He says, "Visit your pagan neighbours, encourage them, love them." And so elementary nursing to plague victims who the rest of the world had thrown out was offered by the Christians' community in Carthage. Are you only a stranger? Are you only a parishioner? You do not know what has happened at this time. Now, we may not have plague in our streets, but we live in a needy world. And as the Church of Christ, we have a duty of care to those around us. The duty to fulfill that second of the two great commandments that Jesus reiterates: love your neighbour as yourself. Now, who is my neighbour? In Christ Church, we have approximately 10,000 neighbours. We are a parish church. A parish is the smallest unit of spiritual and secular geography there is, and it is entrusted to us. This corner of South Sutton, this modest suburb of a modest suburb, is our parish. And if you don't know the basic shape of our parish, we extend as far south as Chiltern Road. To the west, we cut through Overton Park, down Worcester Road towards the railway line. On the east side, so that's behind me, funny enough, we have Eaton Road, Albion Road, the Gallop comes up that way. And so of the 10,000 or so people who live in our parish, we as a church have a duty of care towards them. Now, the vision for our church that we are unfolding over these next few weeks is in three parts, and today we're looking at the second of those. The vision for our church is to love our neighbours well, that we might share the love of Christ with our words and our actions. Divide two inseparable things. We cannot love our neighbours without sharing the good news of Jesus with them, and we cannot share the good news of Jesus without loving them. These two are part of the same cloth. God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Now, this has a particular challenge in every place. Depending on the kind of parish you have and the kind of place you live in, that's going to look different in different ways. And we have done some research on this in our map groups over the last few months. And we have come to the conclusion that our neighbourhood, our parish, for the most part, is not a community where people really know each other. And so one of our calls, I believe, is to grow a greater sense of local community, building on what is there, building on some of the relationships we have with the local schools, building on the wonderful work that Sutton South Hello does, and various other things that are already happening, but building on those, but also creating new things. If we look at the details of our parish, 50% of the households in our parish are single occupancy. The largest single age group is people aged between 30 and 44 years old. There's a lot of people who live in our parish who sleep here, but work and play somewhere else. We have a mixture of backgrounds, nationalities and income brackets. We're pretty much on a par with most of the rest of the country there. We're about middle of the Church Urban Fund poverty scale. We've got a just above, greater than average mixture of backgrounds and nationalities. In our parish there is only one public park. We got a bit of Overton Park. No pubs, no natural meeting spaces. That's one of the reasons why we're investing in the building at the moment. We've been working over the last few years to make our building more visible, friendly. If you remember the landscaping we did outside recently, that was an investment in what I call basic hospitality, and that's why we're launching today the plan for the servery. You'll be hearing more about that later. We want our church to be a more inviting place. As well as inviting people in, we're also going to be planning to go out as well. We want to clean up some of the local spaces. We want to put letters through doors of our neighbours. Everything we can do to try and be better neighbours to the people around us, to those 10,000 people that have been entrusted to our church to love and to serve. So it's a challenge for us corporately, but as I finish, I want to just suggest it's a challenge for us personally as well. It's a difficult question. Do you know your neighbours? Do you relate any differently to the people around you than your non-Christian friends do? The gospel brings us to this. It also gives us the power. 3 weeks ago, as we launched this season, we talked of boasting of nothing except the power of the cross. The cross will be enough for us. The cross will be enough to break down social barriers. Ephesians 2:14, Jesus has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. The gospel is for all people, and Jesus purposely designs his church to include people from a wide range of backgrounds. As I said before, many of the natural differences between people, because we are sinful, often become things of division rather than things that we enjoy and celebrate. And the cross brings us back to saying, actually, Jesus Christ, by his death, has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. I know in that instance he's talking about Jews and non-Jews, but it means I think we can take that ourselves. The cross will give us vulnerability. If we are people who boast in nothing but the cross, we will love our neighbours, and we simultaneously won't mind too much what they think of us. As we show them acts of service, as we try to reach out and make friends, we won't be motivated by a fear of man, because we'll know the one opinion that truly matters is God's, and in Christ we are fully loved. The cross, boasting in nothing but the cross, means that we don't have to boast in what people think of us. That really helps if you're trying to build relationships. And lastly, the cross will give us humility. When we are people who boast in nothing except the cross, we will know that we are only Christians because of the kindness and mercy of God. And so the thought of lording it over non-Christians, the thought of being anything other than humble and open, will be impossible to us. We'll be humble, simple beggars, showing other beggars where we have found some bread. And so as we begin to work into the community, we won't need to be patronizing at all. Notice that it was the two disciples on the road to Emmaus who were the ones who offered Jesus the hospitality, and yet they were the ones whose hearts were transformed by that. The disciples show their care and their openness to this unknown stranger. They invite him to stay. They invite him to join for a meal and companionship. And as they loved the stranger, as they loved the parishioner, they found Christ. And may we find Christ at the centre of our parish, at the centre of our church, and at the centre of our lives. Amen.